I want to preach with this thought in mind. Just choose. Make a choice. I thought about that word last week and how it runs its course through the Word of God. And, you know, if you're a Bible student, it would do you well to take some time and look at that word, choosing and chosen and choice, and what it means throughout the Word of God. You see, to choose means that man has the ability to exercise a will that he has within him. We call that human volition. In other words, you are able to choose. In fact, men have paid a great price in our country to keep that reality available to us. You see, the aspect of freedom and liberty in America tonight revolves around that word, choice. You see, the reason why America exists tonight is because men desired to worship and to serve and to walk with God according to their own inward choice. And that was being violated in the countries in which they lived. And so they came to this country and established this country, and men have fought and died for this country, not to keep a political system in order, but to keep this one word real in the heart and in the lives of individuals, and that is to have the ability to choose. Yet, as you think about that freedom and that liberty that we have tonight, we understand that it's a privilege, amen. It is a privilege to be able to choose. You will make choices for your life, and we try to regulate the choices that our children make as we try to parent them and raise them as we have been preaching. But there comes a time in every individual's life when they come to an age where they have the privilege to make some choices. It's a powerful thing. The ability to choose is a very powerful thing. Amen. And then it has a purpose. God has designed a purpose in this ability, this privilege, this power to choose. And so God has a divine purpose in the ability that you have to choose. The gospel of the Lord Jesus, as we have preached for 20 some odd years in this church, is a whosoever will gospel. We don't come to you and try to force feed you the faith of the Bible. Amen. We're not trying to cram something down your throat. We want to present to men that are lost and undone without God the opportunity that they have, amen, to have peace and joy, forgiveness and life and liberty and freedom to walk with God. That's a privilege, and that's the purpose. But there's a problem. There's a problem with this word choice. You see, with the ability to choose, the privilege, the power, and the purpose to choose, there's something else that has to exist for this word to exist. And that's alternatives. You see, this morning, if there is no alternative, then there's nothing to choose for. And so we are against communism. I mean, that was something that was prevalent years ago when I was a boy. You know, men were afraid that the mindset and the philosophy of communism was going to take over the world. It was a threat to the world. And the reason why that America was so afraid of that mindset and would fight against that is because it would eliminate man's ability to choose. Is that not right? It would completely control everything about his life. That's how the government has seemed to go in our country today. They want to try to snatch the ability for man to choose what's good and what's right for himself. But you see, there is an alternative, and that alternative is spoken of in a negative way in verse 19. Moses said, I call heaven and earth record this day against you. And what he is saying in that verse is that you have life before you, but there's also death. You have blessing that you can experience, but you also have cursing. And you will have to make a choice. I thought about the choices that God has made in the Word of God. You know, when you look at the word, I think there's 200 and something places in the Bible where the word choose, chosen, or choice, and I guess I didn't probably read every one of them, but I glanced through about every place in the Bible where this word is used, and you'll find out that God has made some choices. And in the choices that God has made, amen, I thought about propitiation. Now, that's a big word, and we don't use that word, but it's a Bible word that basically means mercy seat. And the Bible lets us know that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, when he died on Calvary, shed his blood for the sins of the world, and he became our mercy seat. He became the place where fallen man that is in sin and destined to face the judgment of God can find mercy. God made that choice. You didn't make that choice. God made that choice. The Bible said before the foundation of the world, God had established that the Son of God would die on Calvary for the sins of the human race. And God made that choice. The devil didn't make that choice with God. Nobody came to an agreement. God, the sovereign God of heaven, made the choice that his Son would give his life for the sins of mankind. I thought about the Word of God. God has chosen thee. You may choose to walk in this book, but God chose the words. Holy men of old spake. Yes, they did speak, and they penned this book down. But the Bible says that these men spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost of God. And so this book that I have on the sacred desk today is the chosen words of God. God made a choice to put these words in our hands. And so the plan of redemption that they sang about this morning, amen, the ability, amen, to go to Calvary and experience forgiveness of sins, that is a provision that God has made. These precepts that I have today, amen, is the precepts in which God has ordained. Do you know that God has chosen a path for his people? Amen. God has chosen us in him, that we should be without blame, that we should walk holy and pure in this world. Do you know the people of God? There was a man came up to me to the funeral home last night, and he said, and I'd never seen him before in my life, and he said, I listen to you on the radio every Sunday morning, just wanted to come and meet you. And he said, I don't go to church anywhere. And he made this statement. He said, I told a fellow one time the reason why I didn't go to church down there where he goes is because everybody's down there not right. Some of them people down there is not right. And he said, you know what he told me? I said, yeah, I probably do. I said, you'd be better off to go to church with them than to live in hell with them. And he said, that's exactly what he told me. And he just laughed and went on and said he might come out and be with us one of these days. Are you listening to me? But that man knows, even though he is not in this church or not going to church, that a man that claims to be a Christian, a man that claims to be saved by the grace of God, that there are some expectations of that man's life. And God, the God of heaven, has chosen and preordained that his children walk the path of righteousness. Now, you have a volition and a choice in that, and I'll deal with that in just a moment, but God has chosen that path. You're not going to choose the path. You're not going to say, well, this is how close I'm going to go. No, there's two roads. I preached about them last week. There's a broad road. There's a narrow road. And God has already established the road. The only choice you're going to make is to whether or not you're going to walk down. So I thought about this word choice, and I thank God for it, don't you? I'm glad that we have it today in America. And if it was not for men that were willing to give their life and sacrifice in a great way to keep that freedom, amen, we would be all today probably speaking another language and under rule and not have much of a choice in the matter. But I thought about the choice that's involved with faith. And we read this verse, and I think when I read it a few weeks ago, Brother Josh may have preached about it in the prison system, but I read from Psalms 119 a verse that I want to read to you this morning again. And here's what the psalmist said in Psalms 119 and verse number 30. Here's what he said. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before thee. The psalmist said, I have chosen the way of truth. Now, that way is a way of faith. The Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so, if you have chosen the way of truth, then in a spiritual sense, you are saying, I have chosen to live by faith. I thought about saving faith. There was a day when I made a choice about my soul. Just because I was born in America didn't make me a Christian. Just because my daddy was a deacon in a Baptist church did not secure me a place in heaven. Just because I pay my bills and try to be a good neighbor and honest to my peers in this world, that doesn't save my soul. Even though I try to be good to people and to help people and to be a blessing to people, that's not going to get me to heaven. There come a time that I had to choose the way of faith. There come a time when I had to understand and realize that I was lost without God, and all the good that I'd done and would do all of my days would never merit me any favor with God, because God nailed the best thing, amen, that had ever lived on this earth to a cross in my place and desires, and I put my trust and my faith in Him. And as Brother David testified, 24, 25 years ago, that he got saved by the grace of God on this day. This is his spiritual birthday. Amen. He gave his heart to God. He got saved by the grace of God. I remember, Brother James, the day that that took place in my life. I wasn't a thief. I wasn't a bank robber. I wasn't a drunkard. I was a young man that is raised in church most of his life, but I was lost and undone without God. And I needed the same grace of God that would pull the drunkard out of the gutter, that would get the prostitute off the street and the drugs out of the hand of the drug dealer. The same grace that those individuals would need to deliver them is the same grace that I needed, amen, to get me out of the mess of sin that I was in. And there come a day I had to make a choice with saving faith. Amen. And I remember making that choice. And that's what Moses is dealing with in these verses. He says, choose you. He says, make a choice. I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. He says, choose life. That's what I'm trying to tell you to do this morning. Young man, choose life. Young lady, choose life. There's only two choices, life and death, blessing and cursing. There's no middle ground. Choose life. Choose life. Choose life this morning. I thought about faith, saving faith. I thought about serving faith. There's a man in the Bible by the name of Jonah. And Jonah had been given a commandment to go to Nineveh and preach the gospel. But Jonah didn't want to go. Jonah didn't want to serve God in that. He wanted to do his own thing. So you know the story about Jonah and the whale. He got out of the will of God. And he chose not to serve the Lord because he didn't want to do what God wanted him to do. And we know the story, how the storm raged in Jonah's life and he got swallowed by the whale. And I know people have argued about that story, but it's still in the Bible and it's the Word of God. And Jesus verified it himself. But I'm going to tell you what, Jonah didn't like the people of Nineveh. Jonah didn't believe God's going to save them. Jonah didn't want to serve God. Are you listening? Because he didn't have faith to serve the Lord. Have you ever chosen faith above your feelings? Chosen faith above everything else in your life about serving God? I had never been to Kentucky in my life. Coming up in December will be 25 years. I moved up here, I think, in October or November. I had been to Kentucky one time, came up to take a look around, but I had felt like in my heart that this is where God wanted me. And I know that sounds strange to some of you, but I'm telling you, I was cutting grass on a little snapper lawnmower in the front of a trailer on Edith Drive in Taylor, South Carolina, and God broke my heart for a place I had never seen in my life. Now, I know that sounds crazy to some of you, but I'm telling you that's what happened. And God burdened my heart for a people that I didn't even know. I had never seen them. I'm telling you, my family was in South Carolina. That's where I'd been to school. Our friends were there. Our financial stability was there. We were building a new home. And I'm telling you, there come a time when God said, "Are you going to serve me by faith?" And I had to step out by faith and serve him. You see, you need to make a choice about your faith. I thought about separation and sanctification, what it means in regard to faith, to separate yourself from the world and set yourself apart so that you could be used of God. Do you realize today that God is not going to use the wicked and the ungodly to promote the gospel? God is going to use the born-again child of God that will have faith to allow God to work in their life, that will separate themselves from ungodliness and be a pure and holy example to this world. Takes faith, Brother Jim. It takes somebody that will trust God with their life. Would you trust God with your life today? I'm talking about making a choice that you are going to live for God, that you're going to be faithful to God, that you're going to honor God with your life. I'm telling you, I've done that years ago, and I don't regret a mile. I've traveled for Him. So I made some choices about faith. Have you ever made any choices this morning about faith, about saving faith, about life, about serving God? Let me tell you something. Are you listening to me? There's a lot of things going on in this world. I was talking to a man last night about the trucking industry and what he'd done, and he was just telling me about the intricate electronics of how they unload his truck when he pulls into these power plants. And I stand amazed. We got to talking about the coal mines up in West Virginia and how things are done today compared to how they were done years ago. And I stand amazed at all that is going on in our world for those lights to work and for us to have the comforts and conveniences of life. I stand amazed at all that is going on. But there's nothing more important going on in this world today than what's taking place right here in your life personally. Because Moses said, "I'm setting before you life, blessing, and you need to choose life." Because all the stuff that's so complicated that intrigues us can vanish away tomorrow. But the reality of the choice that you will make with faith will last through eternity. And I don't want to belabor this point, but I thought about making a choice, making choices with my faith. I thought about what Moses is saying here in this verse, and he's directing this question and these statements to the people of Israel. He talks about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the patriarchs of the nation of Israel. And I believe he's talking about making a choice with your family. I thought about Abraham when he come out of the air of the Chaldees. Abraham, he made a choice about his family. Abraham made a conscious choice about getting his family away from paganism and the pagan gods of this world. And he left. He didn't have a son, but he'd been promised one. He had never seen the place that God said that he would inherit. But he had faith in his soul that God was going to give him something. What about faith with your family? Abraham made a choice to leave his kindred, to leave his country, and to separate himself from all he knew about life to follow the will of God for his family. Then I thought about Lot. You know, Lot made a choice. The Bible said that Lot chose the well-watered plains of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, I don't think that Lot had any intention of his children and his grandchildren really taking up residence in Sodom. The Bible said that he pitched his tent towards Sodom. He didn't go into Sodom. He just got close enough to look at the lights and to enjoy, amen, being able to go to Walmart and to the mall and to have a close place to go out and eat when he wanted to. He really didn't want to be obsessed and live in the town, but before you know it, he's sitting at the gate with the Sodomites and the men of Sodom and Gomorrah. And he lost his entire family because of Sodom. Now, I know he brought two daughters out of there, but he lost his entire family because of Sodom. Because he wanted the world. He let the world influence his life. He drug things into his home, and just a little taste of it, amen, began to grow and flourish in the minds of his children. And they pulled Lot's mind away from the area where he had placed his tent. And in doing so, it snatched away any hope of Lot ever running back to Abraham's altar. Lot made a choice with his family. You're going to make one with yours this morning. You want your family to have life, blessing, cursing. I thought about Joshua in Joshua 24:15. He's brought the children of Israel out of, Moses has brought them out of Egypt. Joshua's led them across the Jordan River. He's dividing up the land, and there is ungodliness all around them. And Joshua says, you see this when you walk on people's front porch, on their front door, says, choose you this day whom you, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That is a statement that Joshua made to the children of Israel. He said, choose you this day whom you'll serve. As for me and my house, he said, we will serve the Lord. Some of you need to make some choices with your family. I've preached about raising children and from the Bible what it means to and you don't agree with everything I preach, and I realize that. You don't have to. You have a choice. But I'm going to tell you what some of you need to do. Some of you need to make a choice about your family and the will of God and serving the Lord. Joshua made a choice. So did Lot. Lot made a choice. Have you made the Lot choice? Have you cast your lot with Lot? Have you made the choice that, oh, I am not going into Sodom. We're just getting close. Just getting over there around them. We're going to dress a little bit like them and look a little bit like them and act a little bit like them and talk a little bit like them and play with them a little bit. I'm just going to let the kids go over and spend the night. Oh, they cannot go spend the night, preacher. We're just going to let them go over there and have a little fun. Before you know it, Sodom has got their mind. The flesh, the world, the devil has overtaken them. I thought about Elimelech, the choice he made about his family. You study the book of Ruth, and you know in that story there was a famine in Bethlehem, Judah. There was no bread there. And so Elimelech, he took his family, took his wife, took his two sons, and run to Moab. You know the story, most of you do, that's read your Bible. And he run to Moab because there was a famine. But I'm going to tell you something. The reason there was a famine in Bethlehem, Judah, the land where there's bread, that's what it means, amen. Bethlehem, Judah, basically means the land of bread, and Elimelech left that land, but there was sin there that he was a part of, that he was privy to, and that he could have helped solve the problem by getting right with God. But rather than deal with the problem and get right with God and try to be an influence in Bethlehem, Judah, he run to Moab. He run to Moab, made a choice with his family in famine to get out of the will of God. I'm going to tell you something. It might get dry sometime around the house of God, but if it's the place where God's chosen to put his name, you better set still, search your heart, search your soul, pray, make sure you and your house is right with God. Try to be an influence on others around you and wait for God to send the manna. Wait for God to send rain again. Amen. On a dry land, make choices concerning your family, your faith. I thought about the choice that you make concerning the fight that we're in. You know, in Ephesians chapter 6, we have a detailed description of the equipment that's needed for a soldier to fight the spiritual battle. But here's what it says, put on the whole armor of God. Put on. Now, it didn't say make. God's already got the armor made. You don't have to go buy it. You don't have to find the steel, the brass, or the weapons. God has already created the armor. It's designed, amen, to fight the spiritual battle. It's already made. But you have a responsibility to put it on. There's an equipment that's very necessary in this battle that we're fighting. Paul said, I have fought. I have fought a good fight. That's what he said, I have. Some of you are wanting me to fight it for you. And some of you are wanting the deacons to fight this spiritual battle so you can have a church, so you can have a choir, so you can be a part of the will of God. You want everybody else to fight the battle while you sit around and flirt with Sodom and run around with the world and not engage yourself in this battle. But I'm telling you something, friend. You've got to put on the whole armor. Paul said, I have fought. I have fought. That's a choice. To put on the armor of God involves you making a choice to equip yourself to fight this battle. You got to be enabled to fight a battle. A man just don't walk out of his house and just all, just you know, he's just ready to fight battles. The Bible said that Abraham took trained servants when he went after Lot when that battle took place. I'm going to tell you something. You got to get ready to fight if you're going to fight this battle. You got to engage in spiritual warfare. Some of you in this building don't know anything about what I've just preached. But there's a spiritual battle raging. There's a spiritual conflict taking place. And you need to make a choice as to whether or not you're going to fight this battle with us or not. Then lastly, and I'll be done, I thought about the choice that you'll make with finishing. 3 John, I believe it's verse 8, says this, look to yourselves that you lose not those things that ye have wrought, that you receive a full reward. If you're going to finish, you'll have to make a choice right now. You're not going to just accidentally die right or leave out of here right. You're going to have to make your mind up, make a choice to finish. If you're going to finish right, you've got to have a cause to start with. Some of you are doing what you're doing, you don't even know why. You understand that? Some of you young people, some of you young men, you're at church this morning, you don't even know why you're here. You carry a Bible around with you. You know where the book of Genesis is at. You could turn to the book of Ezekiel today, but you don't even know why those books are even in the Bible. You have no cause. There's adults here today that go through the motions of religion with no purpose, no rhyme or reason. Takes character to finish. We've seen that, Lou. We've seen that through the years, throwed aside. A character, a man of character. It takes commitment. It takes somebody that will continue. And so this morning, and all this could be preached in a more in-depth manner, I'm just putting before you the word choose so that you will understand that you have a responsibility to make a choice. You do. In your heart. Brother Steve, when I got right with God and I made a choice to live for Jesus, I'm confident that there was people in the church I pastor or the church that I was a member of that wasn't right with God. I didn't know who they were. Really didn't make much difference to me. Because I was concerned about where my standing was with the Lord. And I was concerned about what I was going to do with the will of God for my life. I could have probably stood back and said, well, I'm not going to serve God because he's not serving God. But that wasn't even in my mind. That wasn't even in the chemistry of my thought process. I could have stood back and looked at religion as a whole and said, well, that's the awfulest mess I've ever seen in my life. Nobody knows what they believe or where they're headed or what they're doing. But I'm telling you, God dealt with my heart about serving Jesus. And I didn't make much difference to me what the cults or the religions of this world believe. All I know is God was dealing with me as an individual about serving God, about getting saved, about living for Jesus, about walking in the Word of God and believing the Bible. And I'm telling you, Brother Curtis, it was about me and God and my relationship personally with the Lord and serving God, and nobody else really mattered. And people matter, mind you, but nobody mattered at that point when it comes to my choice. Because you see, if I chose to serve the Lord and you chose to serve the Lord in your own mind because I did, that may not last. But if you will choose to serve God, no matter what anybody else does, when it comes to the end of life's journey, you can still be serving God. And it's about you making a conscious personal decision about life. About life. And so, this morning, alternatives produce choices. You are either saved this morning or lost without God. You're either ready to meet the Lord or you're not. You are either in the faith or out of the faith. Your family is either right with God this morning collectively as a family. Your family is either headed to Sodom or in Sodom or headed down the path of faith with Abraham. You might be sitting with Elimelech's family because of the choices you've made with your faith and your family. Or you could be with Joshua's crowd this morning, making a conscious choice about living for God. What about the fight, the battle? What about finishing? And I'm not into what's going on all over the Christian world. There's enough sin in this church to keep me busy the rest of my life and the life of 10 other good men. You listening? But I'm telling you, men fall like flies all across the country. From every religious denomination in the world, men succumb to the lust of the flesh and the wickedness of sin and ungodliness. But I got a report to make this morning that there is life and blessing that can be chosen by the individual. And if I fall tomorrow, that doesn't mean that you can't live a productive, godly, holy, worthwhile, blessed life in this world. What kind of choice will you make? Choose faith. Serve God.
Take your family down the path of godliness. This world don't have anything but heartbreak and trouble.